Fox Sports.
Hi, this is Georgie.
Hey, guys. This is Cole Liker.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Throw. Ball's going to bounce down. It's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night, 8 p.m. You're listening to the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. We're part of the Beautiful Game Network. I may sound a little more excited than some of you may have thought we would have sounded at the beginning of the show, but I did just witness a Tampa Bay team score a goal as the Lightning have tied the game at 1 versus the Devils. But that's not really our brand.
I mean, I think it's, rental skate. I'm going to give them a shout
out. I know, we're kind of like buttoned to their territory now, aren't
we? Yeah, I mean, Rental Skates is your Tampa Bay Lightning fan podcast that comes highly recommended from us over here. But I think we should also be celebrating a Tampa Bay goal in New Jersey since we haven't seen
right?
one.
Oh, man. God, I didn't even make that one last question. Yeah, we'll stay off the Rev Ties corner for now. Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Sorry I didn't give you a heads up that I was about to start the show. I went...
it's not like I have this giant clock in front of me with the time on it so I can keep an eye on it or anything. Uh-huh. Except I do, so it's my fault.
I heard you start to talk, and I was like, it's 8 o'clock, I can't respond, and I hit the button. But we're here. I mean, we don't have anything to talk about. Nothing really happened last week, so let's look ahead to next week. Oh. You okay? We apparently played a game last week up in New Jersey. I don't know what's happening on the other end there. I hope Matt's okay.
I just
called myself.
You just what just happened?
So I've got this the USB cord for my mic that goes into the computer. And I have this little extension cord because I've got the mic over on the side of the desk and the computer's in the back. And I have this extension cord, and I somehow managed to get my foot under the desk and disconnect the cable.
So you sued all it?
Yeah, I sued all the heck out of it. Which is not the CK, the word ending in CK that I was saying while the mic was unplugged. And I'm sure Radio St. Pete will appreciate that.
I mean, it was, at your age, I got a little worried that we were having an event.
All of a sudden, because it's unplugged, this is set up as the microphone and the speakers because it's got that port you plug in so you can monitor. All of a sudden, it's just playing over the speakers on my computer. And it's like, well, okay, Dan's still there. What did I do? I thought I pulled the headphones out or something. But no, it was just me being a suit all.
Yeah, good job. Good job. We're off to a rowdy
start. It's getting to the point where people are going to think we're like scripting these things just to have something to talk about at the very beginning of the show when we want to avoid talking about, what we want to avoid talking about.
They should know by now we're not clever enough to script anything.
Lightning goal, 2-1.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, wait, that's the Islanders thing. But yes, be the Thunder.
It's kind of the mob thing. Anyway. So what's up?
Oh, nothing. Just trying to ignore, what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, we're really, really trying to avoid talking about that game, aren't we? Let's just do it because we're barely going to talk about it to begin with.
Let's just talk about our Saturdays minus the game.
All right. So I got up and, you know, just kind of hanging around the house. Didn't really have anything to do. Had a father-daughter dance to go to with my my daughter for her Girl Scout troop later on in the evening. And I was like, oh, man, maybe I'll try and get down to Shamrock to watch the game because I had missed the whole 4 o'clock kickoff time during the week. And well, you know, it'll end at six and I get the dance starts at six. And but I was like, oh, man, silver lining. It'll be over by the time I get there. I won't be like having to pay attention to my phone during the dance. And I kind of stopped paying attention to my phone about 3 minutes later. So once I started getting the FOT mob notifications, I tried to use I went to the well once too often because I slept in a little bit and didn't watch the Liverpool game, and they won 3-0. So I thought I could pull the same trick with the Rowdies, and I'd come back and watch it later, mostly because I was hanging out in my room, and ESPN Plus wasn't on Roku as of yet, and I didn't feel like watching it on my phone. It didn't work.
Yeah, in a very big way, it didn't work. I mean,
it incredibly didn't work. It super didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, I was out. It was my best friend Ashley and I. We were celebrating our 10-year friendsiversary, or whatever she called it, which was nice. We went to a place for brunch. I don't remember the name of it. Off Broken Yoke, I think it was called. Went to Barnes & Noble. Went to a park where people were playing disc golf, and I was very fascinated by disc golf because it doesn't make sense to me. I mean,
oh, have you never played before?
I didn't even know it was a thing. But this
I'm a big disc golf guy, actually.
I didn't know this was a thing. And then, like,
yeah.
I'm there, we're at the park, and we were trying to find the nature trail, but apparently the first part of the nature trail is the disc golf course. And there was a lot of people, and you can't really walk, like, hike a trail when, you know, frisbees are flying everywhere and there's people everywhere. So,
oh, yeah, I've done, I have friends who, like, travel around the state, like, going to tournaments and stuff, and I'm not that into it, but on the rare times I get out and voluntarily move around outside it, I like to try and do that. It's pretty fun. I'm not good at all, but it's definitely a lot of fun.
I mean, I guess that just seems like too much work.
You ever watched PCU?
No.
All right. Well, there's a scene in PCU, which you really should watch. It's a very funny movie, where it's like a bunch of stoners, because the college they're at, they have no like actual athletic teams. So it's a bunch of stoners in like the rec league intramural ultimate frisbee championship game. And it's like that, except they're like, let's put some baskets here and there and just try and throw things at it.
Ultimate frisbee is another thing that I didn't really get into. I mean, I've heard about it. I think I played once or twice, but it was never really my thing. But that's okay.
You know who's a big ultimate guy?
Who?
Mike.
Really?
Media Mike, yeah.
He apparently loves disc golf as well.
Oh, it's fine. And well, the crazy thing, and this is the part you probably still haven't caught on to, like, there's actually different weights and sizes of the discs.
That's like, I mean, that's what I was curious, because they were all carrying around, they had backpacks or like satchels with a bunch of different discs, and I didn't understand why you needed multiple discs unless you were bad and like they were gonna end up in the Gulf or the bay over there where we were.
You have your like your driver, which you throw from the tees. It's lighter weight, supposedly will go further, hopefully a little bit straighter. I still haven't mastered that straighter part yet. And then the closer you get, you've got like a short range, and then you eventually have like the putter, which is smaller and heavier because you're just trying to toss it to the basket, basically.
Okay.
You should definitely do it though. It's a lot of fun.
I think I'll pass.
There's like organized groups down here, and it's pretty interesting. There's a park right like a block down from Shamrock that has a whole course set up you can walk through while you're there.
Screw it. We're the only substitutes the disc golf podcast now after that result last week.
Right? Disc golf, because you know what? No one lost 5-0 in disc golf last week.
I was going to say, the Red Bulls can't hurt us in disc golf.
And there would be just as many people watching in the stadium, apparently, too.
Yeah. Oh, Jack Blake. Shout out to Jack Blake for that insult.
Right?
On the Blake down.
They're poking the bear. Like, has no qualms about going after the team that just shellacked them. But, okay, we got to do it quickly.
Okay.
Red Bulls 2, 5. Rowdy's nothing. Do you have any goods? I have a good.
In all honesty, I didn't watch it because I was busy, and then Sunday I did nothing, and then my parents got a puppy, and I played with the puppy to relieve my stress from watching or from knowing this result. So no, I have no good. Except actually, Jake was there. He got to see the Rowdies show up in person.
For his, you know, like the 2 or 3 times a year that he gets to that this has to be one of them. Lightning almost just scored again. My good is that this little board I've been using for the show notes tweets, I didn't have to do much work to it. I just had to flip Rowdies to the other side instead of being next to the 5. It was next to the 0. So that was convenient, I guess.
Yeah, that works.
Bad?
Okay, so again, in all honesty, I didn't watch, but I followed Twitter, and it seemed to be the same old Rowdies road story. They seemed lethargic. They didn't seem to be much energy and effort. We got to figure it, which is weird because it was the complete opposite in Louisville. It was the complete opposite in North Carolina. So something didn't translate into New York, and it happens. I mean, look, you don't like to see a 5-0, 5-0, 5-0, whatever you want to say, drubbing by any on your team. But, you know, it happens. I would rather this happen in the 4th, 5th week of the season than in the, you know, late in the year.
Right.
If we would have, say we would have, you know, cruised and won a bunch of games and, you know, didn't lose and got some draws, we wouldn't really know the character of this team, right? And I'd rather find out now, even if we have a little rough patch and lose one or two more games. I'd rather find out the character of this team, let them bond. You learn more through defeat than you do victory. Blah, 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 blah. Cliche, cliche, cliche. Let's see. I mean, we know this team seems to have incredible chemistry on and off the pitch. Let's see what happens when things don't go their way. You know what I mean? Like, I trust this team to rebound quite well. I mean, Real Monarchs coming in this weekend is going to be a tough, tough test, even though we're at home. Mm-hmm. They're a great team. They can score. Our defense has been shaky. That's one of my bads right there. Before I get into a game preview, let's go to that. Our defense has been shaky all year, especially to start games. And then sort of the midfield kind of takes over, and then we score some goals and we can hold shape. But we've been shaky. And it was going to come. Cody Mizell's not going to be able to bail us out every week all the time. So maybe you'll see like Roseboom come in now to try to shield that defense, especially against a team like the Monarchs, and we play that way. There's a lot to say about how we played and the lack of energy that I saw a lot of people tweeting about. Either they were watching or those were just scheduled road tweets. I'm not quite sure. I really think coming home, because I was just looking at the calendar and the schedule here. After this game at home, we're at, Charlotte? I'm guessing that's the Penn 15 club, Richmond, and then we finally get a home. And we're gone for the next 3 weeks.
And we may end up with a 4th road game if you throw the Open Cup in there.
Yeah, you know I hate the Open Cup.
I know, but if we're going to be negative, let's go all out.
Yeah, sure.
Even though we had requests on Twitter not to.
Yeah, I mean, this home game is huge. Let's try to get some momentum. I hope the mob is in full voice and the crowd is in full voice. It sounds like the crowd's going to be pretty good for Saturday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, the match sucked. There is probably a little good that, you know, without us watching, we can't really say. There's a lot of bad and some ugly thrown in there as well. Let's bury it, accept it. Learn from it, and let's kick some butt this weekend.
Yeah, this is, like you said, when we get to the game preview in a little bit, like this is a seriously good team coming in. But going back to Saturday's game, like we're gonna lose. Okay, that's going to happen from time to time. We're almost kind of numb to it by this point. With road games, the worst part to me, and I said this to you earlier, over the weekend, I think I can accept, losing a game. That, like you said, that's going to happen. And, you have a 50-50 chance almost every time you go out. But, man, that five-goal cushion that we had built up the week before in our goal differential, which I think could be pretty important coming down the line with Louisville and Cincinnati. And I still – this game didn't change my mind. I still think we're a top three, top two team. That goal differential could be really big at the end of the season, and we just gave it all right back. I mean, that's kind of what bugs me more than the actual loss itself. Like, we'll get points in other games, but to give up the goals like that is kind of a killer. And then, like you said, going into this game and then a three, possibly four game road trip before we come back in like mid-May, that could possibly suck really bad.
Yeah, I mean, the road trip is hopefully doesn't suck, but like the Penn 15 Club is a winnable game. Richmond is a winnable game. Charleston doesn't seem to have it, but they're all winnable games, even on the road. But it's like the goal differential bothers me because we destroyed Ottawa here, and it was a cushion, but it's still early. Like, I mean, you're probably going to lose that five goal cushion. But this team has so much firepower that you might not even know. We might somehow destroy the Monarchs 5-0 this week, and we're back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those two games just canceled each other out, and we're back to where we were. So anything's possible, and this team is
capable. Just go score five again, and everything will be okay.
Yeah, right? Just, just do your thing. And this team is just so dynamic that, like, I'm not worried about it. I know I'm being probably overly optimistic, but it's just I have yet. People were a little upset about Louisville. Didn't care. People were pretty emotionally. Like I heard some intense takes post this game. It's still early. Remember when we went 8 games without a win last season and we still like blew up at the end of the season. Marcel Schaefer came out of nowhere, put the team on his back though, and single-handedly pushed us into the playoffs. This team is just a dynamic team. I don't think we need, like, I know it's a Minnesota thing and hashtag panic, but we're not there yet. Please, like, we're not there. Breathe.
So you're not hitting the panic button then?
Oh, God, no. I mean, there's issues that need to be addressed.
Right.
I think the winning the way we did, against the teams we did, we kind of glossed over. But I think Stuart Campbell is a good coach. I think Dabo and Shane Roberts, that's his name, right? Yeah, Shane Roberts. They're good coaches. They'll see what's going on. These teams are professionals. Like, these guys are professionals. They all have decent USL experience. They have professional experience. They know what's going on. It's not like they've never lost a game in their life or anything like it. It's, swallow it, move on. I can't be optimistic about that game, obviously. You can't polish a turd, but like, there's another game. There's another game. There's like, 20 something more games left. Just let's march forward.
All right. Anything else we want to say about this match? Other than put it in the box, burn it, and throw it in the bay.
I want to put it in a paper bag and run over to my neighbor, ring the doorbell, and light it on fire.
I like that.
That's what I think about that game.
Wait, now, new neighbors already making you mad? Is that
No. My neighbors are great.
I
actually haven't met anybody but like the guy who lives behind my house to the right. He must be like, I don't know, the area mayor, because he was like, I saw you at a bonfire the other night and blah blah blah, and I was like, yeah, told me the entire history of this neighborhood, like I cared. But
and back during the revolution.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was pretty much it. Like, that's the only neighbor, but I just felt like, making a poop in a bag joke.
All right, so let's move on from this to look at the other Eastern Conference scores and standings, and maybe put everything in a little bit of perspective. Indianapolis with a 2-1 win over Nashville in Indianapolis. Charlotte, North Carolina must have been listening to me, because NCFC finally got their win in Charlotte. Charlotte looks like, they started out pretty good in the season, and they've had two back-to-back rough weeks there. But North Carolina's finally gotten some points so they can move ahead of the Canadian teams and the Penn FC. Pittsburgh 1-0 over Ottawa. Shockingly, Ottawa does not score again. Still looking for their first win of the season, first points of the season. Louisville 2-1 over Richmond, and Bethlehem and Cincinnati 1-1 draw, which is actually an improvement, because if I remember correctly, Bethlehem swept Cincinnati last year.
I believe so.
Where did Cincinnati fall into the playoffs?
I believe they lost to who?
But like they, where were they at the end of the season?
They just squeaked into the playoffs, didn't they?
It was Bethlehem got eighth place, wasn't it?
No, because they because they must have been middle of the pack because they played us.
Yeah. They were like 8th or 7th. I think there was a game that we won that locked them in. I think actually it was that game in Orlando. It happens. But Bethlehem knocked off Cincinnati twice last year. I think Cincinnati was like 7th or 6th. And Bethlehem still, like, you know, clinches the last spot on the last day. So it's a long season. Tonight, I think probably going on right this second, actually, is Toronto versus North Carolina FC. It's in Toronto, so I don't think that's an ESPN Plus game. I don't remember how all the rules work, but I'll check and see. I was going to try and watch something while we were doing this tonight. Current standings, Louisville City back on top in the East, 12 points. Red Bull 2 behind them, 10 points. Us behind Red Bulls 2 with 9 points. Indy has 9 points tied with us. And I guess here's a silver lining. We lost by 5 goals, and we're still ahead of another team on goal differential for third and fourth right now. So call that a bonus, I guess. Pittsburgh with 8 points in fifth. Charlotte 7 points in sixth. Cincy 7 points in seventh. Nashville 7 points in eighth. And I'm already seeing some of their fans starting to talk about whether or not they should be panicking already online. Like, it's your first season. You've already got your future kind of mapped out. Just chill out for a little bit. You'll be all right. On the outside looking in, Atlanta United 2, 5 points. Bethlehem Steel 5 points. Charleston 4 points. Richmond 2 points. I don't know why that says 12. That should say 2. No, that shouldn't say 12. That should say like 3 or 4. North Carolina FC with 3 points. Pennsylvania FC with 2, and then Canada combined in a total of 0 points.
Can we go back
to Imperial and Metric?
Can we go back to what you said about Nashville and how their fans might be hitting the panic button?
Yeah, go ahead.
Remember the talks we've had with Cincy fans about how only attendance matters and like maybe them getting MLS matters and results don't really matter, blah, 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 blah. Remember all that?
Right.
Now, here's a team in Cincy that it looks really good, obviously. Like, they're probably a shoo-in at this point. But the year before, MLS was a pipe dream. It was just, you know, pie in the sky. And they still didn't care about anything but results and attendance. Now, you got Nashville fans who are already in, right? Like, they're in. This is, like, their only USL time.
Are they going in next year or the year after?
Well, they might have 2 years, okay? So even if they have 2 years, this is their first year, like, as a club, and here they are already complaining about results and because it matters. Because I don't care what division you're in, if you're, you know, quote-unquote promoted, it matters. You want your team to succeed and to do well. At least you should. Otherwise, and I hate it. I hate this debate more than anything. I'm derailing this entire podcast right now, and I don't care. I hate the argument when people call other, like, especially, you know, other clubs plastic or this, that, and the other. It bothers, especially in America, because, like, come on now. Like, we're all pretty inauthentic in, if you're looking at the European atmosphere and whatever. But it's authentic because, you know, we're passionate. We care, this, that, and the other. But Cincy just feels, and I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this, but, like, the reason why Cincinnati, I think, catches so much flack for being the inauthentic club is not the German name change is really inconsequential. They'll still be, you know, FCC, whatever. But the name change, the fact that, like, fans were only really cared about some fans we spoke to only cared about attendance and, you know, getting MLS and didn't care about results. That feels inauthentic to me, right? Like, because I don't need my team. I don't care what league my club is in, my team's in. I want them to succeed at any and every level they're at. And I made the joke earlier about how I don't care about Open Cup, but I want the Rowdies to go as far as they possibly can in the Open Cup. I want them to win.
Right.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves. And I mean, we're friends. You know, it's the guys over at Cincy. Was it Cincy Soccer Talk? They're good people. They care about that team, and whatnot. So it's not like a shot at them, but it's just a reputation that these Cincinnati fans have developed. And hearing the Nashville fans say, like, we might have to hit the panic button now at week 5 in the season or whatever, it's weirdly good and refreshing to hear that they're, like, they care, even though they know in a year or two they're going to have MLS and USL is just, like, a forgotten realm that they will never go back to. But I like that in a fan base, and kudos to them, even if it is a bit ridiculous to panic right now.
It reminded me, I was wandering around Twitter earlier this afternoon, as I tend to do when I get home from work. And there's a guy, he used to do photography at for Orlando, but now I guess he's in Clearwater. I don't know if he moved to Clearwater, if he's just always been there. But he does a lot of stuff, a lot of photography, like independent photography at Rowdy's games now. You can find him online at NelsonL08. Pretty cool dude. I've talked to him a couple times. But he's Portuguese, big Portuguese fan, you know, fan of Portuguese soccer, let me say it that way. And someone posted last night, what I don't get about Toronto FC fans getting angry at fans who are angry that they lost. Toronto dropped their the opening game of, I think it's the CONCACAF Champions League. I think it's the final, isn't it? They're in the final now?
Yeah.
That they dropped that game, and she's like, I guess, you know, some fans are complaining that they lost and some fans are complaining that people were complaining. She's like, I'm a very angry Udinese lost to Napoli today. How do you love a team if you don't hate it as well? And his response was, you should love what you love, but get hurt when it hurts you. If you don't get angry, emotional, and passionate about a club, it's not your club. It's just a team you watch. It's like, that kind of perfectly sums it up, you know? I like that. I want to give him a shout out for that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. This one of the reasons we moved the podcast to Wednesday is so we could have time to cool off.
Yeah,
because my Monday reaction to Saturday's game would have been completely different than today's reaction of, like, acceptance, resignation, moving on, whatever. Monday, I mean, I was drinking at Brass Tap in Tampa with Ashley and watching the Lightning game when I was watching Twitter, but Sunday was pretty peeved. I was pretty peeved about everything, but you know, it hurt. It pissed me off. But we're here. Day over. Move on. And I care about everything about this club. I mean, and that's why, like, little stupid things will harp on, and I make jokes. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
right.
Sometimes tough love with the things you love is good. But I don't know. I derailed everything with a rant about you know, authenticity and blah 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 blah. So anyway, back to the Canada teams forgetting how to soccer.
I also will say it was it's nice that Red Bull Stu don't really have any fans. We don't have to hear any crap online from them.
True.
Coming off like that. All right, so wrapped up the standings. Only real bit of league news I saw, and just mentioned this because it's a familiar name. Cincinnati signed Mike LaHoud. Cincinnati, who has, you know, went out and signed a ton of players, and then had some issues with Tommy Heinemann, and is still sitting in seventh place with 7 points right now. Went outside, signed Mike LaHoud from, spent time with Miami FC 2 seasons with them, I think, and then was with the Cosmos as well. So, familiar name getting into back into Division II now, I guess. ESPN Plus. Let's talk. This seems to be everybody's, like, favorite kind of, like, go-to topic right now, whether it's on Twitter or podcasts or websites. Are you on the ESPN Plus yet? Did you get your free trial?
Okay, so no. And I posted something about, like, I'm going to need to find a way or whatever, and the USL guy was like, you know, you could subscribe and watch it, you know, on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. And I finally put my finger on the issue here. Division II soccer isn't the best soccer in America, in the
right
world. Right. I already pay. Okay. I mean, you know, fans already pay season ticket. The people that are going to pay to watch USL soccer are probably already pay for season tickets. They pay to go to the game. They pay for their, you know, for jersey, merchandise, whatever. They pay for concession goods at the stadium. Why should we have, like, I know it's only $5 a month, but now I have to pay $5 a month to watch not the best soccer, and you know what I mean? I have issues with it, and maybe it's just, you know, me being a cheap jerk, because I'm going to end up buying it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm going to complain. Consider the Italian Jew portion, like my whole being. I'm going to complain about it, and I'm cheap, but I'm going to end up doing it, and I'm going to guilt them the entire way.
I signed up for it. To me, it's not the cost. Like, there's other things on there I'm interested in, like getting the MLS games and watch those. All the 30 for 30 stuff is on there now as well, too. I mean,
is it on PS4 yet?
Huh?
Can I get it on my PlayStation yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, well.
I'm not sure. My big complaint was it wasn't on Roku, which is, yes, the like TV in my bedroom has a Roku built-in smart TV thing. But like every place I go to, whether it's Shamrock, whether it's, you know, whatever little bars around here is the new pizza place I go to, the Cincinnati guys remember it. They've got a ton of TVs in there. It's all Roku. Like, it seems to me, and I don't have any data to back it up, but it seems to me to be, if not the biggest, you know, up there as far as, you know, technology is being used. So it kind of sucked to me that we don't have it now, but we'll have it in a couple weeks. Well, have it now. And I guess enough people complain they have it now. The app really could use a lot of work. I cut my cable, got rid of Frontier, thank God, for everything but internet.
Hold on. While you were there, I have Frontier for internet, and I want to pay my bill, and I couldn't. I tweeted them because I angrily... They're like, did you change your phone number so we can send you an access code? And I'm like, yes, five times. And I typed in the verification code you sent me five times, and it's still you're still trying to call the wrong number to let me to access my account, and I just want to pay you money, and you guys suck. Anyway, keep going.
So I switched from Frontier Cable to YouTube TV, and like YouTube TV's app on Roku is fantastic because you can flip between like your DVR stuff, your like upcoming, the whole guide, like you can get the guide on the screen while you're watching it. And then to go to the ESPN Plus app, which isn't even its own separate app, it's just kind of bundled into the ESPN app, which I guess was the Watch ESPN app. You've got to go to like the ESPN Plus section. If you type in USL, it comes back with no results. I had to like, the way I had to end up finding stuff was there's like a browse tab, and if you've gone in and like specified your favorite teams, you can click on them and find stuff. But as far as making it more convenient, like, not just yet. And okay, it's, you know, the first version of the app, they threw it out there really quick, maybe just to appease the Roku fans. The other thing I want, do you ever use like the old Watch ESPN, ESPN3 stuff online?
Yeah.
So if you use the computer version, like the on their website, you could pull up, like you could split screen and do like 3-4 videos at once. And I guess the Apple TV part has that built in. Let's get that at least on the computer version. I would love to have it on my TV and watch in the games. Like Pendleton was doing it. He got quote tweeted in the USL's article about how amazing ESPN Plus is, which not exactly the word I would use. It's there. It's a good thing.
Does this mean I have to buy Apple TV now? Like, I wanted an Apple TV because I cut the cord too. But if I can do it on Apple, oh, son of a gun, I got to give Apple more money.
And I don't want to do that because I don't want to be in the Apple ecosystem. I don't want anything in my house is Apple because it just bugs me.
My desktop is Apple. I have an iPhone. I have an Apple Watch. I mean, I might as well.
You don't even know about disc golf, so there.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I just need to grow a beard.
What good is all that stuff doing you? Beer and disc golf go hand in hand, by the way.
No, I said a beard. I need to grow a beard. Oh. I'll drink IPAs while throwing my Frisbees at a basket.
Ugh. Just drop a pine cone in water and sip on that. It'll do about the same thing. I know because I've got YouTube TV, like DirecTV Now is like DirecTV's version. And if you prepay for like 3 months, which is something like $100, they'll send you a free Apple TV.
What?
And you might want to check into that if you want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to switch from YouTube to DirecTV, but I would think about it. And if I could bring myself to bring a piece of Apple equipment in my house, which I don't want to. The other thing I wanted to bring up from it, I don't know if you saw the article on Sock Takes about it, was mentioned in there with just did like a study of lower division soccer owners, as far as like how long they stay involved, what the average expenditure is, all that stuff. But part of it mentioned teams are having to increase their expenditures on stuff like TV things because they've got to meet these minimum broadcast standards. And now because they're on ESPN Plus, they're having to pay what's labeled as a television participation fee. And I don't know, I remember when NASL started getting their stuff on TV, it was always, the story always was that they were paying to be on BN. They were paying to be on ESPN, CBS. I don't think they were paying for, what was that one that was in New York? Like First 11 Sports or something like that.
One World Sports.
Yeah. I don't think they were paying for that because that was running out of the Cosmos offices. But if they were, that was a smart business move for the network, at least.
The Cosmos.
So I'm not surprised that it seems like we're paying again for the access. But it's almost like they're doing some kind of, it feels like financial Darwinism with some of these clubs.
Which is the ones who
make it, you can still stay as Division II, but you guys who can't afford the money, you might want to look at USL D3 where we won't be televised or something.
And it'll be on YouTube and it'll be free, so, whatever.
Then a lot of people will watch it.
Yeah. I'm harping. It's really, $5 a month isn't a big deal. I would recommend buying it. Like I said, I'm just a cheap, grumpy man.
You're as grumpy as I should be at my age.
Yeah, I'm just...
I know why you're grumpy. You know what's happening Saturday.
Oh, I forget. You got, like, I have honestly, like, blocked it out of my head.
I meant to.
No, you don't have to.
I'm putting it in there. All right. Anything else we want to throw? Any more darts we want to throw out there about ESPN2? Or ESPN Plus, sorry.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
It's fine. If you get a month for free, at least to start with.
Yeah, maybe I'll just keep creating email addresses and milk the system.
There you go. All right, so this weekend coming up, the Rowdies and the Real Monarchs. And I will admit, I know they were, Lightning just scored again. Or is that a replay? I'm not sure. Can't tell. I know that they're good. Because they were regular season champs last year, weren't they? No, these are all replays. These aren't new goals. They were regular season champs last year. Didn't they get to the? No, that was some. That was somebody else. No, wait, was that? No, it was Swope Park in the final. I keep getting those two mixed up. But I was going through. There's an article. Chris Hockman is one of the writers for USL's website, put a really good article about it, like what's different between them and this year and their style of play and some of the players they brought in. I tweeted that link out. I would definitely go take a look at that because it's really interesting information about them. But looking at their stats, they're really, really good. They're undefeated on the year, 4 wins, 1 win at home, 3 wins away, best start in club history. Again, we're talking about a club that's went in their fourth year. So it's not that takes much, but still, I'd take 4 wins right now also. They won at Seattle 2 last week, 3-1. Last year, they were 25-7. Regular season champs, got knocked out in first round of playoffs to Sacramento in penalties. They're currently on a 9-game unbeaten regular season streak going back to 2017. They haven't lost in the regular season since September of last year to Phoenix. Some of their roster changes, as we are well aware, Kyle Karinga and Max Lekawecki have come here after leaving Salt Lake City. Two of the guys they picked up that seem to be, though they've got a couple of additions, but two of them have been doing really well. Michael Chang and Justin Portillo from Charleston have kind of picked up where they left off. Chang is kind of driving their offense, it seems like, right now. Josh Hurd in from Bethlehem. David Diosa is a name we're familiar with from the Cosmos. And this guy who sounds almost like a pop band, Masta Catcher, who played with Colorado Springs last year. Going through some of their stats, some of their players, what they've done this year so far, they've got 4 guys tied with 2 goals apiece. Catcher, Hoffman, Ryden, and Velasquez. Catcher scored both of his goals last weekend. Chang's leading with 3 assists. Ryden and Velasquez, by the way, was a 2017 All-League first-team player with the Monarchs. Six shots apiece, and they've only played four games so far. Chang and Portillo are both tied with 10 chances created. The weird thing is they've played three keepers in their four games so far. One of them's played twice with six saves, conceded three goals. One of the other players has given up two other goals, but they haven't lost yet. They've only had one clean sheet on the year, so it seems like there can be some goals to be found in this game. Some of their stats overall, comparing them to us, they've got one more goal on seven fewer shots in one less game with a 24% conversion rate. That's pretty high, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Now, we're like 16, 17. I don't know what's considered to be really high, but that seemed like it was pretty high.
Yeah, that's a bit up there, which, hey, I mean, they were...
And, you know, some of that goes back to what's the level of competition in the Western Conference. I mean, yes. I know Orange County's really good this year, it sounds like. Tulsa, it seems like they're pretty good. But then you've got, you know, Seattle 2, Portland 2, a lot of the, like, you know, LA Galaxy 2, a lot of the two teams out there. I don't know. Then again, we just got beat 5-0 by a two team, so I don't, you know, there's really not necessarily anything you can read into that just based off of that. They've got three more assists. They've got a +6 goal differential, 11 scored, 5 conceded. They've won fewer tackles and duels than we have. We're pretty similar as far as passing, and I want to say probably style of play. They're averaging 341 passes a game, 81% accuracy. We're about 325 with about 78%. They've had more successful crosses, higher crossing accuracy. And if you go read that article, that's what they kind of focus on, is that they've moved more of their game out wide. So I think you're going to see two teams playing kind of similar styles. And going back and looking, I didn't watch the full game. I did watch some of the highlights. I was clicking through there today, just playing around with ESPN Plus. Crosses seem to be an issue. I know that it was a cross that led to the fifth and final goal. Defending those is going to be an important thing to do this weekend. More dribbles, 57.3% dribble success rate, for whatever good that does. Averaging around 12 fouls a game and 2.25 yellow cards. This is going to be a pretty, I don't want to say, I mean, I guess it's pretty almost like an even matchup.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we could keep up with any team in the league. I think, can they keep up with us? But a team like the Monarchs definitely can. Like you said, they were the regular season champs last year, probably because there's a little less quality over in the Western Conference. But these guys can, you know, the cream of the crop in the West can score goals. It's a bit insane. So, like you said, defense is incredibly important this week. And if they're playing out wide, that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I wouldn't mind, actually, on that note, putting Graf up top in the center to work the ball in the middle a bit more with some, you know. But, what, you know, I'm not the coach. I'm just an idiot with a microphone.
Is that the best way you think to counteract a team playing like that? And in the article, he goes back and compares their early season matchup against Seattle from last year and their one from this week. They still played more of the game on the wings last year, but they put a bigger emphasis on it this year. They're only played through the middle for about 20% of the play.
I mean,
is this a game where you might want to switch up the lineups, put in Roseboom, try and stop this attack somewhere in the midfield?
Yeah, I mean, we got Marcel Schaefer, we got Leo Fernandez, we got Michael Nanchoff, Joe Cole, Georgie, Junior Fleming, Graf. We got plenty of skill that if they're going to try to push wide, we can block up those wings with Portillos and Naj, and then just get the ball, and then just quick counters up through the middle, because, you know, with Joe, Marcel, Georgie, whoever you're playing, and bomb it up there. Or you can catch it, you know, if their fullbacks are pushing, you have Junior Fleming running up. I think they'll keep the Monarchs pretty honest there, because the pace we have on the outside should, you know, hopefully pin their fullbacks back and not allow them to use the flanks as much. I think, especially because we're the home team, we want to play our game And I think we should be able to dominate the midfield and pin their fullbacks back at least and control that game. I think that's where the battles will be won more than I know that's I feel like that's a soccer cliche. The game's won in the midfield, but this is definitely one of those things where I think it is.
Do we want to hazard a prediction?
No. I'm done with predictions.
Fine, then I'll make one for you then. Okay. I'll make two predictions. One, we won't lose 5-0. That's my easy one. Secondly, I'm calling this game a 2-2 tie.
That's probably a reasonable bet, actually.
We'll see. I mean, that's, you know, they're, I don't know. You know, New York has always seemed to be one of the better run two teams in the league as far as what we pay attention to, at least in the East. Although I put Bethlehem up there, too. Monarchs might be the best overall. And I kind of, you know, I was thinking about this, like, what's the deal with these guys? Because, you know, a lot of these kids that are on these teams, you know, are guys that grew up watching some of the guys that are on our team. Like, what is it? And I guess it comes down to there's nothing to lose for them. If they go out and get beat by Joe Cole and Marcel Schaefer, well, they're a bunch of reserves. That's probably what's supposed to happen. Like, there's literally no pressure on them, which is why New York has probably been able to take 3 out of 4 from us since coming in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Red Bulls, I mean, there's articles upon articles these days about how the Red Bulls youth system is the best in the country, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, that's part of it. I think the main issue here is we have American teams in Mormon country that call themselves Real something or other. I think that needs to be investigated and shut down.
All right. One last thing we need to talk about for Saturday.
No, we really don't, actually. I think we've talked about
it.
Can we? Okay. But
I mean, I could bring on a guest.
Oh,
I bet I could get her on if you want to.
I mean,
have her on
talk. I just want to say I am doing this, obviously. I will be there. I'm going to do it. Just need to get me the time because I do have plans earlier in the day and then I can get down there. But my thing is,
we'll do it later in the afternoon.
Yeah, I figured closer to game time when everybody shows up.
Let's say like 5:30.
5:30, okay, deal. If I'm not there right at 5:30, don't panic. I'm not ghosting. I will be there. I will do this. Can we just, after I do this, can we please just bury it? It's a 2-year thing now. Can we please just bury this and let's get a new gimmick, please?
I'm gonna ask you one more time for a prediction, but on a different topic. What's gonna be harder to swallow, the poutine or the 5-0 loss last week?
The 5-0 loss last week. I mean, everybody forgets. Like, I will probably, if you guys are right, the taste isn't going to bother me. Like, the nachos tasted good. They were fine. It's legitimately a visual thing. I can't look at it. I can't have my food touch. It's a neurotic, like, thing that, like, gives a physical reaction. So, honestly, like, because I could eat this stuff. If I had a you know, a bucket of fries, whatever, like a tray of fries, a bowl of gravy and some cheese curd. Oh, that just, I would not put the cheese curds, but I could dip fries in gravy and it's probably taste great, but it's all piled on top, which is the problem. So I can probably, if I, you know, just look at it, deal with it, accept that I might vomit everywhere before I even taste it and then just shove some in my mouth, I'll probably be okay. But I would rather, God, I'm not looking forward to this.
Sounds like you want to have some beer handy.
Something. Beer, you know, a gun just to my mouth.
I will make sure to put my my 4-pack of Kick in the Grass in the fridge and we will share them.
Yes, please.
And you're not going through this alone. I am going to gladly eat poutine along with you, so you're not out there.
Thanks.
In the darkness,
you're
all by yourself.
You're a real teammate.
You know, anything I can do to eat some fries and gravy and cheese, I'm good with it.
Just cheese curd. That sounds disgusting. You know, people hate the word moist, and I'm doing this on purpose now. People hate the word moist But like curd just sounds terrible. Like that, I think, gets me too. Like, ugh.
And I get that one because I'm not a huge fan. See, moist doesn't bother me.
Me neither.
The word that bothers me at the level that moist does, yummy.
Really?
I hate that.
I don't think you should have said that because that's how poutine started. And now look where we are.
Yeah, I know. But especially I see it a lot online when people are like, oh, come down to our brewery tonight. We've got yummy beer. No, beer's not yummy.
No, beer is not
like
yummy.
Easter candy is yummy, or like maybe some fried chicken, but beer just tastes good. It's cold. It's not yummy.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
I'm not I think I hate it because it's been way overused and it's just like infantilizing beer especially. But yeah, the whole curd sounds weird, but I promise you they taste very good.
No, I don't believe anything that's called a curd, which is very close to turd, and I'm sure it's the same thing.
They're also kind of salty. A little something white and salty in your mouth.
God, can I play? I got to bring up the outro here. What the heck? I'm getting out of this.
Oh, that reminds me. I need to give him a shout out because I've been working on it. I don't have it ready quite yet. I think we'll have it next week. But Jeff went out and got us some audio to add to the intro recently. And I wanted to just like throw it in there with what we had, but then it gets a little cumbersome, I think is the best way to say it. So we're going to make some different versions of the theme, the intro, with some different sound bites from some more of your favorite players. So stay tuned for that next week. Jeff, thanks for doing that. Let's wrap this up. We love yous. Who you got?
Nobody this week, and really definitely nobody next week. So we might as well get used to me hating everything and everybody right now.
My We Love You is also my man of the match for last week. Jake.
Yeah.
Who went out to Red Bull Arena, sat through the opening game, and then for one of his two or three times seeing his favorite team each year, was witness to that game last weekend. So my We Love You to Jake. It'll be better next time, I promise. We still got our Patreon going if you want to make us do embarrassing stuff or more likely in the near future, not as embarrassing or disgusting stuff, but stuff that helps us keep the show going anyway. Patreon.com/unusedsubspod. This will be my weekly scheduled reminder that I need to get with Mike about the scarves.
Yes, please.
Yes. ratings and reviews, wherever you're listening to us. Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Spotify. I think we've got them all covered. I get stats on the Spotify listens, by the way.
Are we doing all right on the Spotify?
Yeah, we're doing all right. We're in some countries that don't listen to us otherwise, thanks to Spotify.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, if I remember last time I looked, every continent but Africa.
I thought you were saying
Antarctica, obviously.
How do we win over the African audience?
I think they've already smartened up to our shtick and they're not buying it.
Oh, dang it.
But ratings and reviews on there put us in front of more eyes and ears and helps other people find us. So if you can do that, we'd appreciate it. Thank you, as always, to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, and to Big Storm. And thanks to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. That's it for this week. Any final words?
I hate everybody this week. Can somebody else, like, I need a doppelganger to go to the game for me on Saturday.
Kevin's already gone, and you know we don't want to risk getting you thrown out of the stadium
again. I think that you guys would notice the difference between me and Kevin. He's, you know, masculine.
Yeah, but you know, drink enough, we kind of hard to tell.
True, but that would anyway. All right, I'll see you guys Saturday for this stupid poutine crap. There's Amy's selling T-shirts.
I saw that.
It's a little. I don't know how I feel about this, but.
Pat's partly responsible for that now.
Yeah, him and I are going to have words later. But There's t-shirts. If you want to somehow remember this terrible day with a souvenir, you can talk to her on Twitter. What is it? Wayfaring Amy.
Yeah.
She will give the details.
This is smart because this is probably how she's funding her monthly donation, is by selling these t-shirts.
I feel honored in a way that, like, I am on a t-shirt, but a little offended that, like, people are monetizing my mental illness.
Did you sign any waivers to use your likeness?
No. I mean, you know, she's monetized. I'm going to sue for royalties.
If you need a lawyer, there's Sean Hannity's got a guy for you.
Oh, God, I'm the mystery third client.
I would also like to say I did not intimidate Stormy Daniels. That's not me in the sketch.
It's Tom Brady.
It does look like Tom Brady.
It could be the guy who played
And
Dexter.
Honestly, I mean, they're buddies, so yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, right.
All right. Let's wrap this up and get out of here.
Okay, I'm going to hit the button now.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay, man.
The magic was here, the magic was there, they kicked the wall around.